Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue to look at what Jude taught about the characteristics of the heretics. So let's open our Bibles and read verses 12 and 13 of Jude again together. These are the men who are hidden wreaths in your love feast when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by winds. Autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea casting up their own shame like foam. Wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Now we're continuing to examine the second of the five characteristics of the heretics that Jude shows us in the middle part of verse 12. Jude said that those who come into the church to deceive the sheep are like clouds without water, carried along by winds. Jude says that the heretics who creep into the church to deceive the simple are like clouds with no rain, carried along by winds. You see, Jude knew that human beings are like dry, parched ground needing periodic rain. We humans possess no moisture in and of ourselves that will facilitate life, so we need rain. We need rain in the natural to grow our crops, and we need rain in the spiritual to nourish our dry souls. Look what David said in Psalm 143, verse 6. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul longs for you as a parched land, Selah. God knows that we need spiritual rain to quench our thirst. So he told Moses in Deuteronomy 32, verse 2, let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets on the fresh grass and as the showers on the herb. So we as God's people need this holy rain, and God knows that. And so God provides the rain that we need. But the devil knows this too. And so his ambassadors come into the church as clouds, having the appearance that they too can give us the rain that we need. And because we are like sheep and are easily led, these false clouds fool us because of their outward appearance. And we welcome them because we reason to ourselves, I'm thirsty, and there's a cloud that looks like it's filled with rain, and I need that rain. So I will go to that cloud, and I will sit underneath it, and that cloud will give me the rain that will nourish my soul. Only the cloud that Jude talks about here has no water to give. It only has the appearance of having water. But in reality, it is an empty and vacant cloud. You see, dear friends, false teachers produce no rain. This is the point of what Jude is telling us here. False teachers cannot give what we need because they themselves do not possess it. Not only is their teaching empty, but they are personally empty themselves. They make a great outward show and they promise great and mighty things, but they cannot deliver on those promises because they contain no spiritual water to give. Solomon spoke of this in Proverbs 25:14 when he said, like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of his gifts falsely. The heretics deceive people on the basis of their promises, not what they actually deliver. They promise things and make fantastic claims and talk about very elaborate dreams and visions, all so that they can achieve spiritual credibility. But they're not able to deliver on these promises because no human is in charge of spiritual matters. These false teachers claim to have special spiritual gifts that allow them to see things and hear things and provide things and give things and do things that the ordinary person cannot do. So weak-minded and undiscerning sheep listen to the made-up claims of the heretics, and because they themselves are desperate, they are fooled into thinking that this person can provide them with what they have need of. But that is a lie from hell. It is a combination of the false claims that the heretics make mixed in with the desperation of the sheep that make false teachers popular, not the fact that these people actually deliver on their promises. It is, in fact, one of the most horrible and disgusting acts of deception that a human being can perpetrate on another human being, and I really don't understand how anybody could ever be that cruel to other people. No man who is born of woman can promise divine healing for everybody under every condition. That is because we cannot possibly know God's will in every circumstance. That teaching is simply not found anywhere in Scripture. And the people that have become wealthy by preying on the desperation of weak and sick people are the lowest kind of people on earth. God Almighty and God Almighty alone is in charge of physical healing, and it is a false statement to say that any human being has a special insight or a special hotline or special hot hands or any kind of special anointing to promise anybody that if only they will do certain things, then they will be healed all of the time. That is one of the most cruel things that anybody could ever do to a sick person. Beloved, we must remember this one basic fact about God and about the nature and character of God. God is sovereign. God is sovereign about all things, and He is sovereign about all things all the time. I encourage you to begin a study on the sovereignty of God, and if you need help about this, I'll be glad to give you the material about one of the most important issues that is in the Bible. The sovereignty of God is the prime theological and doctrinal issue of the entire Bible, and without a clear biblical understanding of this one single doctrine, your view of salvation, your view of divine healing, of natural disasters, about suffering and trials and tragedies will be off base. And you will have holes and inconsistencies in your own theology that will come back to hurt you later on in life. If you have not heard anything else that I have said during this entire journey through Jude, hear this. Take the time. Make the time to begin today a complete and thorough Bible study on the absolute sovereignty of God. My Christian brothers and sisters, God heals the sick bodies of human beings today, just like He always has healed the sick bodies of human beings. And we thank God for that. God's power to heal has not been diminished. His glory has not been reduced. His ability has not been tarnished. Miracles and healings and signs and wonders and salvation come from the miracle maker. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All that is absolutely true. But what is also true is that God is sovereign. God heals sick bodies according to His own will, according to His own good pleasure, according to what will bring Himself glory, and not simply because we desire it or even because we need it. God does not share His good will with everyone. So like salvation, physical healing is not based upon human works. It is totally and completely based on God's own good pleasure. And we do not contribute to physical healing any more than we contribute to salvation. It is flat out not true that God operates according to predictable patterns. You cannot program or predict or plan out God Almighty. God does not operate on our timetable. God is not bound by our schedule. He is God, and He answers to no one, and He is in total and complete charge of His own creation, and He does not need any help from any man. Thank you very much. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus just spoke a word and a healing occurred. But in John 9, our Lord spit on the ground and made mud and rubbed that mud in the blind man's eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, why in the world did He do that? Why didn't Jesus just speak to the blind man in John like He did to the man in Matthew? Because God is not going to allow any man to predict or program or calculate His sovereign actions. Jesus baffled people all the time, and just about the time that people thought they had Him figured out, He would do something to throw them off again. During the time that Mel Gibson was making his film about Jesus' crucifixion, the ungodly Jews in Hollywood and other people who don't know the Bible or who are saved got into a big public debate about who really killed Jesus. Did the Jews kill Jesus, or was it the Romans? These people forgot that God is sovereign. Neither the Jews nor the Romans killed Jesus. Jesus said in John 10:17-18, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." We have to know that Jesus was in total and complete charge the entire time that He was on the cross. He could have come off the cross at any time that He wanted to. He could have called for 10 legions of angels to come and destroy not only the Roman garrison around Jerusalem. Jesus could have commanded an army of angels that would have annihilated the entire Roman Empire and even the entire world. Jesus hung and bled and died on the cross because He wanted to. He hung there for love, and He hung out there of His great and total devotion and obedience to His Father, and because of His knowledge that it was the Father's will for Him to drink from that bitter cup. So while it is true that God is steadfast and reliable and trustworthy, it is flat out not true that we can learn those sovereign patterns and then predict when, where, and how, and why God will heal or perform miracles. That part is not found in Scripture. Physical healing is not based upon what we do. Healing is based upon what God does. Salvation is not based upon what we do either. Salvation is based upon what God does. You didn't get healed because that special someone laid his hands on your head. You got healed because God healed you out of his own good mercy and pleasure. That man deserves not one bit of your praise for your healing. God deserves all praise and all honor and all glory, and it is wrong for any man to rob God of the praise and the honor and the glory that God alone is entitled to receive. And it speaks volumes about the condition of their heart when the false teachers will accept thanks for something that they had nothing to do with. We must remember, beloved, that physical healing is not a reward for something that you have done. And we must also know that sickness is not a punishment for some sin that you have committed. Our bodies get sick because our fleshly bodies are not saved. Our souls are saved, but our bodies are still cursed. And 100% of every single human being born of woman will die whether they're saved or lost. That is why we get new bodies in glory. So please know that man is not in charge of your healing. God is. Your faith did not activate God to heal you. God healed you because he wanted to. And God does not heal because in his own wisdom and his own sovereign prerogative, he has chosen not to. That is his sovereign right as master and creator. Healing and miracles and signs and wonders and salvation are all the works of a sovereign God. And God periodically manifests his glory for his own purposes and not ours. It is a result of the fact that we are rebellious and fallen creatures that we want to think that God is dependent in some way upon us in order to do what he already wants to do. It is our fallen pride and arrogance that causes us to think that God needs something from us in order to save or to heal or to move in the earth. Beloved, the Bible is clear. God waits for no one. God needs no one. God is fully contained and totally complete in and of himself. He didn't save you because he needs you. No. God doesn't need anyone or anything. God saved you because before the foundation of the earth, he wanted you. So he chose you and he set his love upon you. And then he went after you, even when you did not want him. And he sent his son to die for you. And his spirit began to draw you and drag you and convict you and convince you. And then he visited you and he opened your eyes so that you could see. He unstopped your ears so that you could hear the gospel. And he gave you a new heart so you could believe. And then you were able to understand and trust him for salvation and repent of your sins. Oh, I tell you that God is sovereign. And that means that he is not lonely. He's not afraid. He doesn't stop and think. He doesn't worry. He isn't ever at a loss as to what to do. He does not panic. He is never nervous. He doesn't worry. He never forgets. And he's always right on time. God is always in complete charge of everything that he made, and he is the source of all things, whether they be good or bad in our eyes. It is God that makes the flowers to bloom, and it is God that makes a hurricane. It is God that causes the wind to blow, and it is God that creates tidal waves that kill hundreds of thousands of people. God is sovereign. If we could ever grasp that one solitary truth, it would revolutionize our lives. God is sovereign. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is omniscient. He knows everything about everything. God is omnipresent. He is all over the world at the same time, moving and answering even the prayers that are whispered. And our God is effectual. And that means God didn't just know about things that are going to happen, but it means that God goes out and makes what he wants to occur. The clouds without water want to rob God of his glory. They make fantastic claims that they cannot possibly deliver on. Simple and undiscerning people are deceived by the claims made by these waterless clouds, and that is why we need to know the truth. So the truth will make us free, and that is why we all need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered for the saints. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.